words. The goodness of God has called us here. Though we have not always done what is right in God's sight.
Yet God is merciful and
forgiving. Open your hearts and spirits to the refreshing love of God.
Help us, O Lord, to live joyfully and peacefully in your sight. Amen.
If you would stand and turn to page 545 in your hymnals, we will sing The Church's One Foundation. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Turn to number 888. We will have our affirmation of faith. This is the good news which we have received and in which we stand and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Here. And what we're going to talk about today is prayer. I want to ask you a question. what do you say to your parents when you want something? Please. You do. You say please all the time. Somebody sounds doubtful. No, I bet you do. I bet you say please to your parents when you want something. Do you always get what you want? No, that's pretty clear, isn't it? We don't always get what we want. Well, you know what? You can talk to God the same way you talk to your parents. Did you know that? When you pray, what is prayer? Can somebody tell me what praying is? It's when you talk to God and you ask God things. You can talk to God exactly like, you're not afraid to talk to your parents, are you? You're not afraid to ask them anything. There's no special trick or there's no special code or there's nothing special about talking to your parents, is there? They want you to talk to them. Believe it or not, they do. They want you to talk to them, and they want you to ask them for things. And so that's what we do with God. We can ask God for things, too. And I want you to know, anytime, anywhere, you can go to God in prayer and talk to God just like you would if God was your mother or your father or your grandparents, maybe your Mimi or your grandpa. You can talk to God, and we are so glad that we have a God that loves us so much. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for your goodness to us. We pray your blessing upon us, especially as these children grow and learn in your grace and truth. We ask that you keep your eye over them and keep your eye on us as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a piece of candy. We continue to worship and praise God with the giving of our gifts this morning. I invite the ushers to come for the presentation of tithes and offerings. I only have two plates. I don't know what happened to the other two. They disappeared. You'll handle it. All right. Let's pray. We are grateful, O God, for your many gifts and blessings, and we pray your blessing upon us and keep our hearts and minds focused on you, that we may be your children in this time and in this place, called to be your witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What do you think? That was beautiful. That was really beautiful. Appreciate it. I just want to mention a couple of things as we prepare to go to God in prayer. And one is that the candle on the altar is lit, as I had said, for victims of violence in the world, and we had more violence this week. And we want to remember that God asks us to be peacemakers, and so we bring those issues and concerns and needs to God in prayer. I also want to mention that Luis Ordonez is in the hospital, not really doing that well. He's having some congestive heart failure issues and other concerns, and we want to remember him in our prayers and pray for God's healing to touch his life this morning. He's at Baptist downtown. He's at Baptist downtown. Yeah. He may go home in a day or two. It's possible that he may go home, but that's because they can't really do a whole lot for him. There's no surgery or anything like that that will fix that. It's in God's hands. And so we pray. I want us to go to God in prayer by bowing our heads and closing our eyes and seek the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel called to do so, you may share your prayer aloud or silently, however you would make your prayer to God today. The children going to camp this week, Bradley Wilson, Megan Kajir, and John Bryant. God, who calls upon the children to enter into your kingdom, take us up into your arms, into your welcome and embrace. Remind us to be like children, to love unconditionally, to see the world with eyes of wonder, to have a heart that breaks easily when it knows the pain of others. Teach us to learn like children, to care for our planet, to clean up after ourselves, to do our part. Call upon us to remember to play, to include others, to enjoy this life that you have given us, and make it enjoyable for others. In the name of the Christ, who said, "Let the little children come unto me," we pray, because it is to them that your reign belongs. We pray as he taught. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Before we share the scripture this morning, I did overlook one of the announcements today, and I always like to make mention that today at 6 o'clock is our church council. So everyone is always invited and encouraged to come and know the ins and outs and what's going on and what you would like to see done in your church. Okay, that's tonight at 6 o'clock. I hope to see many of your faces there this evening. Okay, our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. It is up on the screen and also on page 88 in your pew Bibles. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each daily our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I know some of you remember the radio talk show host Paul Harvey. Well, he tells this story about prayer. A 3-year-old goes with his mother to the grocery store. But before they go in, she sits him down and she says, you are not going to get any chocolate chip cookies today, so don't even ask. So they get in there and they go down the aisles, and of course they come to the cookie aisle, and he sees all the cookies and he says, Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? And she replies, I told you not to ask. They continue up and down the aisles, and then in a few minutes they backtrack and go back to the cookie aisle. And again, he says, can I have some chocolate chip cookies, Mom? And she holds firm. She says, I told you not to ask. You're not getting any cookies. Well, they've done their shopping and they're waiting in the checkout line, and he knows this is his last chance. So he stands up in the cart and he says, in the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies? And 23 shoppers go and get him a box of cookies. So he didn't get just one. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. As Christians and United Methodists, most of us expect and assume that we should pray. The founder of Methodism considered prayer, John Wesley, he considered prayer one of the spiritual disciplines that we should do every day. And according to research, 55% of American Christians say they pray every day. And when you pray like that, if it's a regular practice of prayer, you're relying on prayer to help you make personal decisions frequently. You consider prayer an essential part of your identity. And as you probably are aware, there are just millions of books out there on praying, how to pray, and books on the power of prayer. And since Jesus prayed himself, that means we should also pray, because he is our model and example. And the disciples apparently thought the same thing, because they saw their teacher praying, and so they asked him how to pray, to teach them how to pray. And I think this is an important teaching, because I really do not remember ever specifically learning how to pray. Now, that's not completely true, because the primary way we learn, or one of the ways we learn, is by observation and by doing. And I certainly saw prayer all around me, including in worship services. And there is an adage in Latin that means, I won't tell you the Latin because I'm not a Latin speaker, but it means the law of praying is the law of believing, that we are shaped by our prayers, and that we learn frequently what we believe in our time of prayer. In addition to what I learned about how to pray through worship, I also learned how to pray using the Lord's Prayer. Obviously, that was one of the primary ways I learned. And I learned by watching family members pray. We prayed before meals, and sometimes we used the prayer, especially when we were little, we used the rote prayer. You know, I was going to say, now I lay me down to sleep, but that's my... That's our going to bed prayer. We used to say that, going to bed. But we had a prayer that we prayed over the meal every time. And then, of course, we got older and we prayed out loud. And I used to observe some of my grandparents praying. My grandmother, when I visited her home, she prayed aloud frequently. So I learned by listening to what she had said in her prayers. And I tell you this to get you to think about what you experienced and how what you observed in prayer, and how prayer operated in your life and in your family, whether at home or in church or however you were exposed to it, how you learned to pray. As I said, the standard Jesus gives us is the Lord's Prayer, which is what he taught his disciples. But he doesn't actually instruct the disciples to pray, just how to pray. And he says that when we pray, we should approach God like a child going to a parent. And this is a paraphrase. He says, pray like this: God, we honor you on earth more than we honor our own flesh and blood parents. Please come to rule our lives every day that we have on this earth. Help us not to worry about the future. We ask only for enough bread to get through this day. And don't forgive our sins until we have found a way to forgive every person who has done us wrong. And please, God, do not test our faith too much, because we know that we are weak and that we will surely fail. And he follows up his teaching on how to pray with the teaching on the importance of perseverance. He tells them the story about bothering your neighbor, your friend, in the middle of the night to help him welcome somebody who's come to his home. And he urges them to keep at it. He says, ask, search, knock, and it will be given to you. If we apply this to prayer, it means that when we pray, if we don't get an answer right away, or we don't get the answer we hoped for, we've got to keep trying. We can be persistent. We must persevere patiently, keep asking day by day. And we are not to take God's silence as a sign of rejection. Because the point of prayer is to talk with God, to be in relationship with God, to move your heart and mind and soul into cooperation with God in loving and serving the world. Jesus then says that when we pray, we are to take the attitude that we are God's beloved children. This business about the fish and the snake and the egg and the scorpion is just a way of saying that God is like a loving parent who already knows our needs before we ask. It is an assurance that God has our best interests in mind at all times. The point Jesus is making to his disciples is that God loves God's children as a parent loves his child. God loves us and wants the best for us. God also anticipates our every need, even before we may know it ourselves. Prayer, to me, is about trust. And I think he saves the best for the last when he says in the final sentence, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" God knows that as disciples of Jesus Christ who are working for the transformation of the world, what we need more than anything is the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds and actions. That what we need to be praying for with perseverance and regularity is the Holy Spirit. If we are going to pray anything beyond what Jesus has taught us to pray, then what we need to ask for every day is simply that God would give us the Holy Spirit. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit. And God knows that the Holy Spirit is what we need most. That the Holy Spirit is what this world needs the most. And God knows that the remedy for our situation is the slow and persistent work of the Holy Spirit to bring a change from the inside so that we can become catalysts for change for good on the outside. And bring a word of grace and hope to people who really need community and who really need a connection to God. So I hope you're talking to God. I hope you're making a connection, reaching out, asking, seeking, searching. Because God is listening. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn to number 405, we'll sing "Seek Ye First."
Thank you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.